Welcome to episode 2 of What Happened to You with Chrissy Kelly. And of course, I'm Chrissy Kelly, and today we're talking about a topic that a lot of people find super interesting, including myself. And I absolutely love talking about this, and it's the 5 different types of traumas. And most people have at least one of these traumas, but some people have all of them, and it is actually super common to have all of them. So let's just dive straight in and address the first one, which is developmental trauma. So developmental trauma is ongoing, and it's an ongoing type of trauma, and it often starts to develop in early years. So usually from birth to about age 10. So it generally always happens in developmental years, but sometimes it happens in early adulthood, say like early 20s, that kind of thing. But it has to be a prolonged period of time during your developmental years. And this is where we can get those adverse childhood experiences. So it can be anything like racism, bullying, abuse, watching abuse, losing a caregiver, accidents, neglect, emotional neglect, physical abuse. And it most often shows up in people as a sense of hopelessness, deep shame, and a really underlying feeling of what's wrong with me. There can sometimes also be a sense of terror, feeling isolated, not feeling connected to others or self, and just feeling different. It also can affect your posture. So a lot of people who have experienced developmental trauma will tend to kind of fold forward in themselves and not have the best posture. So another sign can also be an insecure attachment style. So insecure, meaning avoidant or anxious. And yeah, it's just like the thing that always comes up here is like, something's wrong with me. What's wrong with me? And the question that I would always ask to start exploring this in yourself, or if I was to ask my clients to start exploring this, is what was your relationship with your parents like? So I'm going to leave developmental trauma there. That just gives a really brief overview of what that one's like. It's the most in-depth and most complex. And this is also where we'd see lots of diagnoses coming out of it in regards to like complex PTSD, borderline personality disorder. There's also a big connection between developmental trauma and ADHD, autism, antisocial behavioral disorder. So all these different types of things that can come out of developmental trauma that are really just connected to trauma, underlying trauma, and manifest in all these disorders. We diagnose them as disorders. So let's move on. The second type of trauma is acute trauma. So this is the most well-known type of trauma that we associate with the word trauma, and essentially it's a one-time thing event that happened. For example, a fire, a car accident, assault, rape, one thing that happened, and there's not an origin. For example, like a lot of the time in trauma therapy, we look for an origin of what's actually going on. Say there's an emotion now of like fear, anxiety happening, but no exact reason why. We would trace that back to an origin in our childhood or in our early adulthood that's causing that anxiety now, but there's no origin. The one trauma is the origin. And it's really based around the hippocampus pumping cortisol, stress hormones, and that memory is stored as a trauma imprint. So we have the survival mode. The hippocampus doesn't store the memory correctly. There's a lot of terror there, like a humming level of terror or unease. This can be a really intense type of trauma that you can't avoid, like you can for years and years and years with developmental, it's a lot more of a stronger unease or terror. So that one's pretty self-explanatory. I'm not going to go any further with acute trauma. The next one that we're going to chat about is pre-conscious or pre-cognitive. So a lot of people get pretty confused or like umming and ahhing whether this is really a trauma, but 100% in my opinion it is. So essentially pre-conscious or pre-cognitive trauma is anything that happens before cognition as a child. So it also includes conception, it includes your pregnancy, and it includes after birth until about 18 months to 2 years, depending on the child. So it's when you can't recall or have memories, essentially, but there was a trauma that happened during that period of up to 2 years where you can't remember something, and it often is also can be that you take a trauma imprint off your caregiver. So say a trauma happens to your mother while she's pregnant with you, and she cannot self-soothe, and she stores something as an imprint. That is also an imprint that you will store in your little baby nervous system. So it sounds crazy, but it really is a thing. So this is where we'll get those survival patterns coming into play. And, you know, say your mother had a really stressful pregnancy, or, you know, she was, not having the greatest relationship with your father at the time or your other mother. It's like these difficulties in her nervous system that pass onto yours. This type of trauma can feel like an aircon that you've had on your whole life. Like it's like an aircon of air blowing at you, and it just feels like this underlying stress. You don't know anything but that sensation, you know? It's like this low level of like just feeling off, not right, and you can't connect it to anything. That is often connected to pre-conscious or pre-cognitive trauma. This can also be birth complications. So say you had a C-section or forceps baby, something like that. This can also be connected to that. So you won't ever get images or memories in regarding this trauma. It's only sensation. It's literally only the body remembers this sensation. So I hope that explains that one pretty well. I know it can be a bit of a complex trauma to understand, but it really is a thing. And if you have the capacity to speak to your parent about your conception, your pregnancy, well, your mother's pregnancy with you, and your birth and up to 2 years, it's really empowering to know that information and to access that. So the next one, the fourth one, is intergenerational trauma. So I so believe in this, and I think I actually really want to speak on a study to address this. There's a study done, and I'll try to find the link for it and post it in the show notes. But there's a study done on rats, because this is not an ethical study you can do on humans. But if this is happening in rats' genes, it's definitely happening in human genes. Well, not maybe not definitely, but there's a very high chance of it happening in human genes. So these rats, essentially, there was a few rats placed in a box, and they were sprayed with rose spray was sprayed in their crates, and then after that rose spray was sprayed, they were shocked. And so this happened over a period of time, and they ended up developing obviously a fear of the rose smell, because the rose smell always come before the stimuli, and so or the shock. And so the rats feared the rose smell, and then so once that happened and they feared the rose smell without the shock, they took them out of this environment and put them back into, say, like a rat park, you know, where they had a great life and a normal life, and they had babies, and then their babies had babies. So their grandchildren were then separated, and at no time during this period of time, say 10 years, where they had babies and then babies. I actually don't know how long rats breed for, how long it takes, but I'm sure it's not 10 years. It's probably much shorter. They weren't exposed to shocking, or they weren't exposed to rose smell. And then the grandchildren of these rats were taken out of this environment, separated, and put into their own crates. Then they were all individually sprayed with rose spray, and the grandchildren freaked out. So this is a great example of how trauma imprints are passed down through generations. These children were never exposed to the shocking and the rose smell, yet they were afraid of the rose smell. This is where we see, like, I also have the opinion that there's certain disorders that are passed down through generations, and I actually can't put anything to that because I haven't seen any studies, but I have a theory that I would love to explore later in my career, that things like autism and ADHD are more so this intergenerational trauma side of things than actually being a disorder, if you know what I mean, because PTSD symptoms and also some autism symptoms are very similar, like the sensory sensitivity, and there's a lot of anxiety and like not wanting to connect. There's just a lot of similarities in that. But that's no discrediting to neurodivergence, and I definitely have neurodivergent symptoms, yet I haven't been diagnosed with autism, but my mother has been, and I definitely recognize a lot of the symptoms in myself. And that's why I've started to put a lot of thoughts into this intergenerational trauma. But essentially, I don't want to go too deep into it. I know I have a little bit in here, but imprints are passed down. That's essentially what we're talking about with intergenerational trauma, that imprints are passed down. And then the last one, so the fifth trauma, is collective trauma. So essentially meaning that a population or a group of people, a community, experience a trauma at the same time. And so the group actually embody the same survival mechanisms, and so it's like the quantum mechanics kind of quantum field. You're all experiencing the same thing, but because of this, there can also be a lot of suppression, because everyone's going through it, so everyone kind of feels like they have to push it down. It's kind of like COVID, that was a big one, that a lot of people experience collective trauma. It's like everyone was like, oh, but other people have it worse, you know, so just shush, you know, like be grateful. But like your feelings of that experience were valid. And if you were having a hard time, you were having a hard time. Like it's okay for that to feel like a trauma to you. And then, you know, another thing is racism. So racism is a collective trauma, and a massive one at that, and one that really needs to be addressed more. So I think that pretty much sums up collective trauma. Also remembering that another way that collective trauma happens is like news and media. And so like by passing like stuff through the news or media, that's not always true. And I think like the purpose behind that is having a collective or shared dysregulated nervous system. I know myself, whenever I watch the news or media, I feel so upset and dysregulated. And that is the point of this. Like, and we want to remember that that doesn't do any benefit for us. There's no benefit in watching this horrible stuff going on and getting a dysregulated nervous system ourselves. The best thing that we can do is try our best to regulate ourselves and help others who are going through these difficult stages and not have to be unregulated because of something like news. So yeah, there's a lot of survival in this collective state, and also a feeling of feeling unsafe, like a general feeling of feeling unsafe. So I'm going to leave it there. There were the 5 different types of traumas. If you have any questions, please feel free, as always, to DM me on Instagram, ask me any questions. But that is all for now, and I will see you guys next week. Bye.